This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Saturday today. I don't really record these on Thursday. My Thursday turned a little crazy. In addition to that, I've just been completely focused on getting ready for Star Trek Day. And I literally did not even realize I had not recorded a podcast until yesterday afternoon when my good friend and listener, Bob LaFon, said, "Are you going to be doing a podcast this week?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, no." So I kind of had it on my radar Wednesday night because I have an appointment that comes up and says, "Get ready for the podcast." And I thought, well, what am I going to do? Not really sure. Let's see. I mean, there's always stuff that I'm thinking about. But Thursday was an unusual day because I was going down to the dentist. I have a lovely dentist. I was going down to the dentist to begin the process of getting a crown. And I had decided that I wanted a gold crown. You can get porcelain crowns, and then you can get gold crowns. Gold, by far, is the most hypoallergenic. You know, it is really the best material to use for durability and the amount of tooth that has to be removed in order to do this gold crown. You just have to remove 1 millimeter of the tooth for the gold crown. You have to remove 2 millimeters of tooth for the porcelain crown. You know, and so I decided I wanted gold. It's a little more expensive, but hey, you know, it's fine. It's fine. And so I was going to have that process started. It's the first time I've had a crown, so there was a bit of uncertainty about all of that. In addition to that, I usually go down to my dentist in costume because normally my dentist appointments are on a Friday, and so just whatever costume I'm doing, I just pick that up and we go. Or if I've worn that particular costume down there before, then I just pick out something else. Well, I looked and looked and looked, and finally I decided, well, since I'm going to get a gold crown eventually, maybe I'll just wear my pirate costume. So I headed that direction. Got my pirate costume on, dropped off Aiden at school, headed that direction. I was down at the dentist for 4 hours. And then just as I'm coming out of the dentist, I get a call from Dustin that he's gotten a call from the school because Aiden, they said, has hit a kid 3 times in the head. Well, that's, you know, that's not really Aiden. He just doesn't lash out. And Dustin, when they told him that, he said, "Okay, so what's the rest of the story?" "Well, no, that's all the information." He says, "No, it's not all the information. Why is it?" "Well, there was this other kid that was keeping Aiden from doing what he wanted to do." "Well, okay, that's a problem." And then when Dustin actually got to the school to pick up Aiden, Aiden said, "He hit me in the head." And Dustin said, "Who hit you in the head?" "The kid." So, you know, according to Aiden, sounded like somebody else started it. Well, the thing about Aiden is if you start it with Aiden, he's going to finish it. He's an interesting little kid. I mean, he's really sharp and smart and a very interesting little kid. So that was going on. And so then that meant that I didn't have to pick up Aiden from school because Dustin had picked up Aiden from school. And then we had that all going on, but then I was trying to get my Star Trek costume finished up. So as I'm coming back across town, having had, you know, anesthesia in my jaw and my lips numb and all that sort of thing, and, you know, I'm thinking about what's going on with it, I am not even thinking about the podcast. I mean, I don't even know if I had the recorder loaded in the back. I don't think I did because I was so preoccupied with, okay, what do I have left to do for the Star Trek costume? And when am I going to have to pick up Aiden? And what is this? And what is that? And what is that? I didn't even think about it because I didn't actually do any work for my client on Thursday either. I'd taken the whole day off, so I was kind of off schedule for that too. So anyways, yeah, so ta-da. So then I didn't even think about it till Bob wrote yesterday, and then I was like, oh yeah, so now I have left myself appointments. And I was in at church for a Saturday morning team meeting where they were practicing some songs and like that and like that and like that. And we only have two sound people, and the other sound person usually doesn't show up for those team meetings, which is fine. And so I'm the sound guy there for those team meetings. And so we got that done. Then I ran over to Walmart to get a container and a few supplies that I missed from this morning and yesterday when I went grocery shopping. But got that done, and I'm finally heading home. So anyways, needless to say, it's been an interesting week, an interesting couple of days. This week was the week that I had to do the big push to get the Star Trek costume ready. And I've talked about it on here before, and I was able to get it finished. It came down to the wire. I mean, I like to get in bed by 9:30. And I think it was 9:08 or 9:10 by the time I finished catch-stitching the hems. And I kind of rushed some of the catch-stitching, and some of it's a little more visible than it should be. But hey, you know, it's fine. Got that done. And it worked out pretty much exactly like I was expecting it to. So there's not really many surprises. I have mentioned before that I was going to do a scant. It's not a mini dress, it's called a scant, because Star Trek The Next Generation decided they got tired of people telling them that the mini dresses on the girls were sexist, and so they decided to put the guys in the mini dresses as well. Which to me is just hysterical. It's like a complete ignorance and obfuscation of the fact that the reason you want to put the girls in miniskirts is because of the reproductive systems. You know, it's just like, oh, come on. So, other people found that as amusing as I did. And so I had fun yesterday and today, because for the people who hadn't seen it, they'd walk up and they'd kind of look at me and I'd say, Happy Star Trek Day. Well, it looks like Star Trek, but I don't know. I said, okay, all right. There may be questions. So here is photographic evidence. And I would hold up this picture of a printout I had done of a couple of guys in the, they don't call them miniskirts, they call them scants. Here are a couple of guys in the scants. And then look at it and go, really? And it's like, yep. So those were... And one person said, well, I kind of remember them from the show, but I just thought they were shorts. Nope, it's a skirt. So then, and so even like when I went over to Maranatha, which obviously is a little more conservative of an environment and stuff, you know, by the time I explained to them what's going on, they're laughing. Even the chief executive officer over there, when I told him the story, he said, that's funny. I said, I know, it's funny. I said, it was worth making the costume for. So it's just really, really interesting. So that was fun, but it was a focus because I got it done in 3 weeks. I had preloaded a bunch of stuff. So I had ordered the material, you know, read about everything I needed. I went through all the notes. I could see how it was made, you know. So as soon as I had finished Mr. Potato Head, like the next week, I spent that week, about a week and a half, making a mock-up, going through just with muslin and reproducing it in muslin with the patterns, making sure that it fit when I put it on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then as soon as I did that, I turned around and started cutting the jumbo spandex, it's called. Those early Star Trek The Next Generation costumes were made out of jumbo spandex, which is like $30 a yard if you buy the good stuff. So didn't want to cut into that until I knew what I was doing. But got that out. We got them done. pressed and ironed all the seams, did the thing, yada, 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 finished up Thursday night, finished up, got everything put together. My wife helped me hem it up. Little tidbit, I was going to hem it up by like measuring down from my shoulder. And Ned said, no, just grab the big long ruler. And so she just sat in front of me and we put the tip of the ruler on the floor. And then she measured from the floor to the hem of where, and I just let her pick a spot and she hemmed it up. So anyways, little sidebar tidbit there that's just fascinating to me. I was going to hem up the scant a little shorter so that the biker shorts that I had bought would show, like the bottom inch of the biker shorts would show. Because in my mind, what happens with the male reproductive systems is it's all about access. So the ease of access. So if you see biker shorts sticking out from underneath what could be considered a skirt, what happens is the mind recalibrates that and considers that to be a shirt with shorts, which is a different level of access than just a short skirt. Okay, that's the way the human reproductive system works. So I wanted to make sure that the biker shorts showed. So I was going to shorten up the hem to where the biker shorts would show about an inch underneath. My wife, when she went to hem it, and I just let her pick, you know, pick where she wanted to put the hem. It needed to be above the knee, you know, about mid-thigh somewhere. The way she hemmed it is she hemmed it right below the biker shorts. So you couldn't see the biker shorts. And, I mean, I did have some cute responses that I put on my Facebook feed and stuff. But everybody seemed to enjoy it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did finish up the book this last week as well. So I got it landed on Sunday. So that's book 23. It's landed. I'm doing my read through now. I just finally figured out what the cover should be. It's just amazing, you know, because there's like things I don't know. And it's just like, it's fine. It'll come. Just wait. It's fine. And sure enough, today I'm sitting at church during these rehearsals, just sitting there running sound and start thinking about the cover. And it's like, oh yeah, I should do this and I should do that. And tink, 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 tink. So now I get to see if I can actually get AI to do this cover for me, which the last couple of covers have come together surprisingly fast compared to what it used to be. And basically, this cover, and I'm not going to give away anything in terms of what the plot is, but this cover is going to be looking out on a vast array of terrible looking foot soldiers, you know, ogres or whatever, being led by, you know, this Abaddon kind of winged creature, you know, etc., etc. Like, if I can get it to do like a full charge, you know, like they're coming towards you at a full charge from the distance, and have like large trebuchets firing, you know, flaming balls coming over the, you know, top, and etc., etc., etc. So that it's a full-on assault. I mean, it's just like everything is coming. I am way too close on that side. So I'm gonna start here and try. So I want this whole idea of like there's this onslaught just coming towards you on the camera. And in the foreground from the back then, what you're seeing, I don't think I'm right side of this. Let's see if we scrape as I'm coming in. And so in the foreground then, facing away from us, there's going to be a single horse with, you know, a young maiden on this single horse just waiting. So all you see is, you just see her from the back. as this onslaught is coming forward. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'll have to see if I can get... there's a new Google out called Nana Banana that they say is just incredible in terms of being able to keep character consistency and be very accurate with what you're asking it to do. So we're going to see if we can get Nano Banana to do some of that stuff for us. Hopefully it's hooked up through FreePick, which is what I usually use to create covers. So I have to get my read-through done first, then we'll work on that, see if we can't get that cover done, put it together, look for some beta readers, and then it's on to book 24. So the book turned out. I was happy with how the book turned out. We got done what we needed to get done with it. Good cliffhanger on the end of it. So yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. This week, I just really have been just fascinated with even more investigating. I think I probably mentioned, maybe I didn't, that I've been really fascinated with the ancient stone vases. I don't know if you all have heard of ancient stone vases, but there's actually a website, ancientstonevases.com. And it's pretty fascinating that they found these ancient vases that are made out of really hard stone, granite and basalt, those types of things. And they're just engineered with incredible precision, down to thousandths of an inch of precision, below what is perceptible to the human eye. And yet they come from pre-dynastic times. So they were found, a lot of them were found in tombs that date back before dynastic Egypt. And nobody knows how these things were manufactured. It's really a lot of really, really fascinating stuff. And so I've sort of been tracking all of that. I may have mentioned last week that I was going to do a printout. I did a printout of one of the vases on my 3D printer and, you know, showed it to my grandson as we were coming back from picking him up at Wings. And then for a variety of reasons, I had wished my daughter happy birthday in early August, and then we were going to get together and have a party for birthdays, and then that never happened. And then I realized I hadn't actually ever given her a gift card or anything. And so I sent the vase home with her and a gift card home with her. And so that's interesting. And then in conjunction with that, I've been looking at the Serapeum, and that's really fabulous. The Serapeum at Saqqar. Serapeum. So I think it's Serapeum at Saqqar. Saqqar, I think. And the stone boxes there, really fascinating stuff. Evidence of a civilization that had some serious technology. And it's all ancient stuff in Egypt. So it's been fun. It's, you know, this is an interesting time. It's so interesting because it's like all the priorities, I'm just moving them around now and settling them in and getting them where they need to be. We closed the month in cash receipts and I didn't even know we were closing. I mean, we had a little problem with the HMEOM, the AGUSM cash receipts process that runs at close when we close cash receipts. And I wasn't even aware there was a problem. I got up the next morning and the guy who's in charge of that was saying, do we have to be concerned about this failure? Can we just rerun it? And I just sent him a note and said, listen, just get with Mel, get with Darren. They can rerun it. They know how to do that. But I was astonished that I was not even aware we were running end-of-month cash receipts. I mean, I have known we have run end-of-month cash receipts since 2010. And been on top of that and watching it every time we ran it and stuff. And I was just out. I'm gone, you know. Because I was working on the Star Trek costume. So it's a very interesting time of life. And everything seems to be puttering along. We're going. Everything's going. So God is good. He's kind. He helps. It's a fascinating life. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.